1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as a word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When we come to church and when we prepare our hearts for this conference, we need to come with the attitude, Lord, the words that I hear, the verses that I read in your word this week, don't let it just be, I've heard that before. I know this. But let's take it a step farther and say, Lord, here is your word. Help me to be a doer of it. And the church here in Thessalonica had their whole life and their whole ministry and everything about this particular church was changed because of their attitude towards the Word of God. If we want to have a truly changed heart and life and ministry, I think it's imperative that we take God's Word as God's Word. Amen. And not just, well, the pastor told me, or I heard this, or the missionary said, but as we look at the Word of God, and as you read God's Word personally, that we look at it and say, God, this is your Word. Am I measuring up to what you want me to do? Am I being the person that you want me to be? Not because I remember our kids and as we were traveling, and one of them said, they were talking back and forth, and says, I hate being a missionary, or I don't like being a missionary kid. And I turned around and said, why did you say that? He says, well, if I wasn't a missionary kid, then I would be able to do this and do this and this and this, and listed some things. And Verda and I, we looked at each other and we said, no. We don't do these things, or we don't do these things because we're missionaries. We do these things, or we don't do these things because the Bible says. It's not a matter of, well, the church says, or pastor says, or no, what does the Bible say? And we base our life on the Word of God. Let God's Word be the basis for why we do the things that we do. And as we look at God's Word this week in this missions conference, let's be a person who examines God's Word and begins to implement it as you have in the past. But again, we need to be reminded of what God says and why we do what we do for reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a result of them receiving God's word as God's word, I'm reminded and of some characteristics that are found in this particular church at Thessalonica. First of all, we find that they become followers of us and of the Lord. We are following leadership as they follow the Lord. Following deals with a submission. Following deals with, I am willing to put myself underneath somebody else. I'm willing not to go my own way. I think of the walking in the snow and footprints left in the snow and the children following dad and footprints. It's not going making your own path, but it's following the path that is set before us. Submitting ourselves to the leadership is important as we serve God and as we allow God's word to direct our lives. It deals with us it deals with the area of submission. I'm going to place myself under the authority and under this and be submissive to the leadership as the leadership is submissive to the Lord. And there's some qualifications for that. And of the Lord, I'm going to submit myself. I'm going to be a follower. I'm going to humble myself and do what God wants me to do. We find also that verse number 6 in the latter part of that, not only they become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. They receive the word in much affliction. Now notice this, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Here they were going through some very difficult times. We all go through difficult times. We all go through some tragedy. We all go through some times of frustration and difficulties and difficult circumstances. But don't let those circumstances take away your joy. Happiness depends upon happiness. Happiness depends upon happenings. And what happens in our lives sometimes dictates to us whether we're going to be happy or we're going to be sad or whether we're going. But joy is dependent upon our relationship with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. What's the next word? Joy. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit working in our lives as we submit to our lives to the Word of God and become followers of God's Word. We find ourselves here that received the Word in much affliction, but yet they were a joyful people. We can be joyful regardless of the difficulties that we go through because of our relationship, not because of who we are or because of our sturdiness or in our abilities, but because of who Christ is in us as we submit to Him. We find that not only as they received God's Word, they became followers of the Lord, and they, in much trial and affliction, they had joy of the Holy Ghost. But verse number 7, so that ye were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. Paul tells Timothy, be thou an example of the believer. We are to be examples, and this church was an example not only to its own membership, but also to those without, and to reaching beyond their community. They showed an example of what a Christian is. A lot of times you ask a person, what is a Christian? And you can come up with all sorts of ideas and thoughts, but are we being that proper example? Are we showing the true character of what a Christian is? A Christian is not just someone who names the name of Christ, but is one who follows the examples and the character of Christ. Is that character demonstrated in our lives where other people can see? It's not just a matter of, hey, I'm a Christian. I got a fish on my car, or I got the bumper sticker. I carry a Bible. But is it living in our lives, in our attitudes, in our actions, in our responses to others? Are people seeing Christ in us? We find also that not only they were an example to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia, but verse number 8, for from you sounded out. That's an interesting word, and that sounded means a clear, definite, distinct noise. Something that is understandable. Something that is not a noise that is contorted or that is non-recognizable. It's a sound that is recognized and that is distinct and saying, I understand. Here is the Word of God being sounded out from verse number 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God word is spread abroad. Their faith was spread abroad. And it carries with it the idea that their faith wasn't just a secretive thing. Their faith wasn't undercover. Their faith wasn't, it was exposed. It was clearly, everybody understood what they believed and why they believed it. It sounded out. There was no mistake of what they believed, what the gospel was. And notice this, that it sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God word is spread abroad. Now notice this last statement in verse number 8, so that we need not to speak anything. I don't need to go there. Paul says, I don't even need to go there as a result of your faith, as a result of your evangelism, as a result of God working in your life, and you're taking God's word and letting it change your life, you're spreading the word where people understand what that gospel is, where I don't even need to go there. And that's what this week is going to be about. Spreading the good news to the regions beyond you. And to be able to have a part in that. But here we find that they were evangelistic in their efforts because they allowed God's word to be a part of their lives. They didn't say, this is some man's idea to grow the church. No, this is God's plan for his church to evangelize the world. And they took it as God's word. And as a result, it changed their lives to the point that they had to share it with somebody else and communicated that with others. We find also in verse number 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." When Paul went in and preached the gospel under difficult situation, circumstance, the word of God went forth. They heard the word of God, they believed the word of God, and they changed, the God's word changed their lives, just like you and me. God's word is still impacting lives, just as it impacted the lives of these Christians in the first century. We find that the word of God still impacts people's lives in Africa. Everywhere the word of God is preached, it impacts Amen. People's lives. And that's why it's so important that we are a part of missions, and why it's important that we participate in this missions conference. Because we want the word of God to impact people's lives. I'm thinking of an individual right now that in New Guinea. He was running away from the police. He was a criminal. He was running from the police. And I had witnessed to him, and he, you know, dissed it. And then the police got after him again and just about shot him to death, killed him. He came and saw me, and we talked. He came to church, accepted Christ as a personal Savior. We find a tremendous change that came into his life. In fact, he could not read or write, and he attended Verda's literacy class. And then later, God called him into the ministry. He attended our Bible school, and now he himself is looking after the church at number 6. His name's Matthews. God changes people's lives. And that's why we are going, and we've served the Lord 20 years, because we understand the power of the gospel and the changes that it takes place when people hear and receive God's word. And that's why it's important for us to be vigilant in telling others about Jesus Christ, sharing our faith at work, at school, in the community, around our neighborhood, letting people know, just as God's word has changed our life, it can change others' lives also. The word of God is vital in us being a church and a people who will serve God. I want to draw our attention, and we'll close with this here, verse number 10. We find in verse number 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." It is an interesting word, the word wait. We have an idea, and it is true. It is waiting patiently and with expectation. But it's not just waiting patiently with expectation of Christ's return, because Christ will return. But it is the idea of waiting with expectation, but while we are waiting on others. The idea here is not just sitting. Not just, okay, Lord, we're waiting, we're coming to church, we're doing the thing, and when are you coming? Okay, well, I don't know when you're coming. But it's an idea that, yes, we're expecting his return. But while we're expecting his return, we are helping others. The idea is, well, we get the word waiter. When you go to the restaurant and you're seated by a waiter, they come with a menu and say, here's a menu. How can I help you? What do you want to order? What do you want? And then they come back and what are they serving? Waiting on you. The idea is this. How can I help you? How can I serve you? While we are waiting with expectation, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not just to be sitting and doing nothing. We are to be looking watchfully. How can I help you? How can I meet your need? What can I do for you? But it is sad, in a way, very sad, when somebody comes to church and sits, and then nobody shakes their hand and they leave. Well, that church sure is unfriendly. Nobody shook my hand. The idea is not to sit and wait for people to come to you. It's a proactive. It's me going to other people. If you don't get your hand shook, it's not other people's fault. It's your fault. Because you're not waiting. You're not being the waiter. You want to be waited on. We are to be the server, not the servee. As we receive God's word, and when we receive God's word as God's word, let's not just sit and be waited on, but let's look for opportunity to serve. This week, you're going to be challenged of opportunities that you can participate in on how you can help this church to be an evangelistic and to be able to reach out to the world to share the gospel with others. You're going to be presented with ideas and thoughts and encouraged to participate. Let's not just sit, well, that's for somebody else. Let's have the attitude of, how can I serve? Lord, show me what you want me to do. How can I help this church? How can I be involved in the ministries here? How can I be involved in reaching others? I'm looking forward to this week. We prayed about this week. I believe God is going to do some great things in our lives. But just as the people of Church at Thessalonica, just as I myself have to come to a point of looking at God's word and saying, no, this isn't just some missionary's idea, his thoughts, his philosophy. This is God's word. And I'm going to be a person who will say, yes, I'm going to participate. I'm going to do what God's word instructs me to do. God's word is not just an opinion of men. It is, in fact, God's word. Let's finish with this thought here in chapter 2 and verse 13. I believe God, this church, was a great example to the community and to other churches because of this. For this cause, verse 13, also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it, not as a word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Notice this, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. God's word wants to do a work in all of our lives. What keeps God's word from working in us? Me. It's my choice. It's my choice. Am I going to believe it and do it? Or am I going to say, that's a good thought, But I don't see it that way. Stan and Teresa does conferences on marriage. Vert and I do conferences on marriage. And we were in a church, in fact, it was Bilolo. We were in a church in Bilolo, and I did a marriage conference. And one of the men after the conference, one of the men came up and says, "Well, you know, you guys have your own thoughts. What I've heard was that's American culture. You know, that's white man's thinking." And we explained and tried to talk to him a little bit. And he just, "No, that's just, we have our culture, you have your culture, and that's what it is." Another man that, and his family, he came to me and he says, "Gary, I made some decisions during this week. I've given my life to the Lord, and I've said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to follow your word." Him and his wife committed themselves to raising children and becoming the family that God wanted them to become. Over the years, I've noticed those two families. One of the families that says, that's white man's thinking. You know what? The problems that they have are the same problems that they had before, they still have, and continue to have. The fighting, the bickering, the rebellious children, the dissemination of their family, and just the constant turmoil in their family. No change. Same old, same old. The family that, the man that says, "I'm going to make a commitment to the Lord," his family was totally different. Their husband-wife relationship was totally different. Their children, respectful and changed. What makes a difference? God's word. When we say this is God's word. When we make excuses, saying, "Well, that's somebody's opinion. That's a good thought, but that's not the way I think it is." We need to be careful. We may not be seeing changes in our lives because we're not seeing God's word as God's word. This week, let's be a people who will come with an open heart, receptive, to say, "Lord, teach me your word this week. Do a work in my heart and my life that I will not be the same person, but I will be a changed person that will glorify you." Thank you for the time, and I appreciate and looking forward to this week, and I hope you are too.